Chapter 15. Location, Junior's House, Level 1 Testing. Nimbus still didn't know why Archangel Michael wanted to fast-track him to Angel Associates Master Level. Wasn't he supposed to enjoy the journey? But when he was told his mission would be working with a man with a disability, Nimbus was more than curious than scared. Moving around in a battery-powered wheelchair would be interesting to observe, but what was he supposed to do to help him? Michael just said that Junior didn't ask for anything in particular. He just kept saying the Catholic Rosary over and over, and then, "Are you listening?" Nimbus had a lot to learn about the different religions and people's beliefs. He only knew that angels represented all the faiths. Junior lived in Sandpoint, Idaho, on a few acres of land with his wife Marissa and his adult son Brent. Brent had stayed around to help with his dad and lived in an add-on apartment above the detached garage behind the house. As Nimbus hovered over the lake near the property, breathing in the moisture, he decided he was ready to meet Junior. Since Junior was very religious, Nimbus had to take extra care in his presentation. He didn't mean to change into an angel look-alike, but Archangel Michael had said, "Whatever it takes, as long as you are a good representative." Nimbus became a mini Michael. At their first encounter, they both hit it off famously. Junior was a true believer from the get-go and took it in stride that Nimbus wasn't Mother Mary. Maybe it was because Nimbus told him that he worked with Archangel Michael and was sent due to Junior's continuous devotion. Junior was grateful for what he was receiving. Since his diagnosis with multiple sclerosis at age 36, Junior had become pretty cynical over the past 25 years for good reason. Nimbus had researched the disease before he showed up so he would be more helpful. He found out that MS was a chronic disease in which the immune system eats away at the myelin sheath, which is the protective covering over the nerves. Still no cure and no real understanding of why it hits some people and not others. Nimbus realized that all cases were different. The disease was degenerative, and in Junior's case, his MS had affected not only his whole nervous system, his brain, and optic nerves, but his legs as well, hence the need for a wheelchair. When Junior wasn't ranting and raving about the current political affairs and professing that the end of the world was just around the corner, he was telling stories. And since he was a master storyteller, Nimbus enjoyed every one of them. But what made the stories even better was Junior's infectious laugh. That was a story in itself. He would become completely tickled by his own interpretation of one of life's events and start to laugh, which would make Nimbus smile whether he thought Junior's story was funny or not. The laugh varied and could sound like a hyena with a hoot owl coming in for the grand finale. And if Junior thought about the story again, he would laugh in silence, exhaling a weird sound of air and popping his shoulders up and down. Nimbus would start to laugh too, and then Junior would repeat parts of the story and his body would shake again. This angel associate in training had no trouble showing up to help, even if it was just to listen. As time went on, and every time Nimbus arrived, Junior would be waiting for him outside in his oversized electric wheelchair holding a cup of coffee. His trusty service dog, Penny, would be sitting at his side. After greeting each other, Nimbus would make himself into a baby bed mattress and listen. Junior would maneuver his wheelchair around on the extra-wide front sidewalk, looking up to tell Nimbus a new story. And Penny would be following him, wagging her tail, trying to see if Junior was talking to her. The stories were usually about Junior and his younger sister's adventures growing up. Nimbus heard about the time when Junior and his younger sister found a nest ball of baby garter snakes down on the bank at a pond near their house. Junior, 10 years old, and Sammy, short for Samantha, almost 8, had scooped the squirming ball of snakes into a shoebox and talked their mother into taking them to the county fair. Junior's plan was to sell them for 50 cents apiece. Junior howled with laughter when he told Nimbus how they sold every snake except the ones that escaped out of the box every time he opened it for a sale. With the proceeds, they bought $20 worth of fireworks for the 4th of July celebration and shot them all off until midnight. Even though their parents had gone to bed, the neighbors had not. He laughed. Now that was a 4th of July. Then there was the story about the time he and Sammy would camp out in their backyard in his Boy Scout pup tent telling ghost stories. In the morning, he would cook their bacon and eggs over the incinerator. In the past, before burning household trash was outlawed, homeowners had a tall cement trash burner on their property. He told Nimbus that the incinerator was easy cleanup. Then there would be that laugh. But one afternoon when Nimbus arrived late, since sometimes Junior slept all day, he saw him sitting rigid and alert in his wheelchair on the sidewalk. He was staring out into the yard, pounding his fist on his wheelchair arm. He was not in a laughing mood. "What's the matter, Junior?" Nimbus asked. "What are you looking at?"
"Oh, that damn dog's got herself a rabbit. See there?" Junior said, pointing at the golden retriever. "She's bitten off its head."
Nimbus looked out into the yard where Junior was pointing, and sure enough, there hanging from the old gray-faced golden retriever's mouth was a small fuzzy rabbit dangling headless.
"Penny!" Junior yelled. "Drop it!"
Penny had failed the training of an official service dog, but she was adorable and on sale and loved her wheelchair master. In fact, Penny was so proud of her conquest that she trotted over with the bloody carcass swinging from side to side and dropped it in Junior's lap.
"No!" he screamed. "You damn worthless dog!"
He threw his arms up, flipping it off his lap onto the cement sidewalk. Blood trailed down his bare legs and pooled around the furry pile at the foot of his wheelchair. Penny lunged at it and scooped it up in her mouth, tossing the bloody mass up in the air. She was loving the new game she was playing with her owner.
"No, Penny!" he screamed, dodging a spray of blood flying by.
Nimbus was paralyzed with awe, the kind of awe when you can't believe what you are seeing. The headless rabbit squirted blood like a lawn sprinkler as Penny tossed her head back and forth, leaving lines of red all over the white concrete. Junior jammed the knob on the wheelchair arm forward, and the machine lurched ahead. He chased after the dog, whose mustard-yellow bandana around her neck had now turned ketchup red.
"Penny, drop it!"
Suddenly understanding the new game of cat and mouse, Penny circled around Junior's wheelchair, darting one way and then the other with the headless body still clamped tightly in her vice-like jaws. Junior jammed at the wheelchair controls, going left then right, pointing his head with determination. He charged after her without paying any attention to where he was going. The next thing Nimbus saw was Junior sailing right off the end of the sidewalk. The wheelchair stopped dead as the wheels dug into the driveway gravel. Junior's body pitched out forward and landed him face first in the thick pebble base.
"Oh my," Nimbus gasped, "are you all right?"
"Son of a Winchester," Junior moaned into his hands as he raised himself up on his elbows.
"Is there anything I can do to help you, Junior?"
"Is there anything I can do to help you, Junior?"
Junior mocked in a little girl's voice.
"Yeah, Nimbus, you can pick me up and put me back in my chair."
For a minute, Nimbus thought he could do just that. But then he remembered he was just a cloud in angel's clothing. He felt completely helpless, hovering over the lumbering man. Junior dragged himself over to his wheelchair as his legs trailed behind him like two long sandbags.
"Should we call a neighbor?" Nimbus asked. "Is your son coming home soon?"
He was literally starting to grow. No, it isn't my first rodeo," he groaned. He struggled to stabilize his wheelchair, working the wheels deeper into the gravel. All the years of dragging himself around on crutches had made his upper body very strong. He reached up and grabbed the arms of his chair. As he struggled with all of his might, Junior rolled his body back and forth, winding and undulating like a snake, slowly working his way back up into the seat. Having reached his destination, he slumped over in exhaustion and instantly fell asleep, snoring loudly. "Junior!" Nimbus called frantically as he strained to keep himself from building. Suddenly, he was concerned that daylight was fading and Junior might be spending the night outside. "Junior, wake up! You need to go back into the house!" Then Nimbus was horrified as he stared at the cherry red blood on Junior, the dog, and the sidewalk. It looked like a mass murder had taken place. Penny no longer carried the carcass and stood guard at Junior's side with muddy paws and nose. Nimbus floated around, trying not to panic. "What am I supposed to do?" he said, drifting over and hovering over Junior. Penny wagged her tail as if she heard him. Nimbus moved to a nearby tree and saw that it was Junior's son, Brent. He drove up in a tomato soup-colored 1960 VW Bug with its rusty tailpipe cinched up to the bumper with coat hangers. Gravel crunched when the car came to a sudden stop. Out jumped a stout, better-than-average, good-looking man. Brent froze, not sure what he was seeing until Penny left her master's side and greeted him with her mud-caked nose and bloody bandana. Then he saw the blood on the driveway, the sidewalk, and all over his father's legs. "Good God, Dad, are you all right?" Brent shook his father awake. What? Junior complained, flailing his arms at his son. "What on earth happened?" Brent shouted, brushing the dry, bloody gravel off of his father's legs. He reached over and engaged the wheelchair to go forward, then rocked the chair back and forth, pushing it hard to get the chair out of the gravel. "Did someone attack you?" Brent asked, heading for the front door.
No, the damn dog got herself a rabbit and... Where is she? Penny!"
"She's right here, but she needs to stay outside." He swung open the door and kicked at the dog to keep her out. "What the hell happened, Dad?" Nimbus watched with relief as they went inside the house. Penny lay down at the door, licking the blood and mud off of her front paws. It was times like this that made Nimbus wish he had gone into his mother's line of work creating sunsets. "Teaching Taylor to read was easy peasy," he said, then smiled, remembering her and how his life had suddenly gotten so complicated overnight. Being an angel's associate was serious business. Nimbus drifted higher to get some cooler air. He was feeling extra dense these days. Junior played heavy on his heart and heavy on his energy. In fact, he was leaking at the most inopportune times. He formed into his favorite baby bed mattress to console himself. "What am I doing with my life? Am I kidding myself? Very few clouds make it through the levels of Angel Associate because it's not your basic cause and effect. What was I thinking?" "Think outside the box," Nimbus heard himself say. He had learned in one of his preparatory classes that things aren't always what they appear to be. "With each new assignment, there is an energy change, remember?" He was thinking that he better develop some new methods at handling this energy, or he would break like Thundermug. He rearranged his glasses and rested his hand on his chin. "Thundermug, I wonder whatever happened to you, my old friend. You sure tried so hard before you broke." Nimbus hovered high above the lake near Junior's house and watched the cars and trucks cross the bridge. "It seemed the harder I try to help Junior, the more I feel. How can I help? I mean, I'm just a cloud and Junior thinks I'm an angel. It seems the harder I try to help Junior, the worse I feel. How can I help? I'm just a cloud, and Junior thinks I'm an angel. So I bet he expects a lot.
Maybe I should just keep my views to myself and let the disasters fall where they may.
Nimbus reformed back into the shape of his old self again.
It's my interpretation anyway.
But I can't keep to myself. I'm supposed to...
What?
Nimbus shouted, then looked up in the sky to see if any clouds were listening. He was all alone, without another cloud in the sky.
When I see Junior suffering, so I suffer.
Is that compassion? How do I pull him out of the swamp of depression without being pulled back in with him?
I have to say something, don't I?
Nimbus looked up.
Come on, Michael, just a little hint, please.
Just be you, was the reply he heard in his head. He felt heavy again. He floated back to Junior's house to make sure everything was all right. Marissa had come home, and she must have taken Penny into the house.
Just be me? But that doesn't seem to be enough, he said with a sigh.
Tears built fast inside of him, and he expanded rapidly. There was no thunder or lightning, just a gentle, soft release of helpless anguish that fell lightly to the ground. The rabbit's red blood diluted and rolled with Nimbus's tears off into the grass.